Good morning. Welcome to our worship service today. We begin with a prayer to our God and Savior. O Lord God, our Heavenly Father, you are the only true and living God. By your grace, you have called us to be your children, and you have invited us to come before you in worship and praise. Grant that we may worship you in spirit and in truth, so that our worship is pleasing in your sight. Let your saving grace work in our hearts and cause us to grow in our faith and love for you. We ask you to strengthen us for the week to come, that in all things we may live as your dear children and give all glory to your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Our first hymn for today is With the Lord Begin Your Task. Please rise. invite you to follow our order of worship that's printed for you in your service bulletin. We begin on the top of page 3. We begin our worship service in the name of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Maker and Redeemer, we confess that we are sinful by nature and have sinned against You in our thoughts, words, and actions. We have not loved You above all things. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. Have mercy on us, and for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, forgive us our sins. Jesus Christ is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We are forgiven. With boldness and confidence, now we may approach God's throne to find grace to help in our time of need. In the joy and peace of forgiveness, let us praise the Lord. We pray. Heavenly Father, mercifully bless the Christian education of Your children in our congregation. They may grow up to know and love You and praise Your holy name. Bless our Christian day school and all the other settings in which our children are brought closer to You. Restrain the activities of the evil one who would seek to undermine these efforts to provide for the spiritual growth of Your children. Help us all to regard these children and our educational ministries as gifts from You. Encourage the members of our congregations to support those who teach and those who learn. Give joy to all who serve as teachers, staff, and volunteers in our school, and give them the privilege of seeing the fruits of their labors. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with You and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Today is, of course, Christian Education Sunday, also a Sunday in which we're celebrating the fact that we are installing our new Christian day school teacher. You're going to notice that in our scripture readings for today, there is an emphasis on learning. The first reading from 2 Timothy chapter 3 emphasizes learning from God's Word, which is able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul, by inspiration, writes these words. He says, "As for you, continue in the things you have learned, and about which you have become convinced. You know from whom you learned them, and that from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, and for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, well-equipped for every good work." Our second reading for this morning is from the Gospel of Matthew. We'll read from chapter 11, verses 25 through 30. "Sanctify us by Your truth, O Lord. Your word is truth." In this reading, Jesus encourages us to learn from him. He also reminds us that he reveals his truths even to the youngest among us, even to little ones, little babies. At that time, Jesus continued, "I praise you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from clever and learned people and have revealed them to little children. Yes, Father, because this was pleasing to you. Everything has been entrusted to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wants to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Here ends our scripture readings. Praise to you, O Christ. Please rise. Let's join now in confessing our faith in the one true triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, with the words of the Apostles' Creed on the middle of page 6. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. We continue with our next hymn, Let Children Hear the Mighty Deeds. Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who by his saving work has made us God's children and heirs of heaven, dear fellow redeemed. The text for our meditation and application to our daily walk of faith is one short verse from Philippians, Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. In fact, it is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. These are the words of our Lord. Let us pray. Let the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. Have you ever had days or times where you needed some motivation to do your work? Only the days that end in Y, right? Maybe it's a particular task that you're dreading on a certain day, or maybe it's that you just don't like your job, or maybe you're just feeling lazy. You hear your alarm clock goes off in the morning and you really don't want to go to work. You really don't want to do much of anything at all. Whatever the reason, there are times in our lives, for all of us, aren't there, where we just really need someone or something to push us, to motivate us, to get us to get to work. As you know, a very special part of our worship service today is the installation of our new lower grade teacher, Mr. Isaac Schmidt. Isaac, I'm guessing that as you look ahead to your first day and your first week of school, you probably aren't in need of much of anything to motivate you, to tell you to get to work. I'm guessing after a very eventful summer and after lots of preparations, you are very much ready to finally get to work and do what you've been called to do, and that is teach. But even for you, a brand new teacher, there are going to be days and times where you're just not going to feel like it. You're just not going to want to do it. Maybe even dread it. Or at least dread certain parts of your work and certain parts of your calling. Again, it happens to all of us. Shockingly, it even happens to pastors. We have those days and we have those moments. It is a blessing to remember that we get to work. It is a blessing from God. Work is actually something that God blesses us and our families with. But do we always remember or recognize its importance? Or realize or remember or recognize the fact that it is a blessing and a gift from God? The important blessing it is to us in our lives and in our world. Work is a gift from God. It really and truly is. God gave Adam and Eve work in the Garden of Eden, the job of cultivating and exercising dominion over the world, even before sin entered the world. So in a perfect world, God still had work for his people to do. Now obviously, since the fall into sin, work has been corrupted. It's no longer the perfect thing that God intended it to be. It's far from it. It's no longer as fulfilling or beneficial or as joyful the service that God intended it to be. Work can be tedious. It can be stressful. It can be mundane. It can be downright awful at times. Yes, again, even for pastors and teachers and called workers in God's kingdom. But keep in mind that our work, no matter what our vocation is, and remember the word vocation is a word that comes from a word that means our calling. Whatever our vocation, our calling is, it really is a blessing from God. Think about the fact that God most often works through regular physical means, and therefore that means that he often gives us his earthly gifts and his blessings through human work. Whenever anyone does something for you, if they make you a meal, if they clean your house, if they teach your children, preach a sermon, or develop software for your computer so you can actually go and get to work, be grateful. Be grateful for the people God uses to bless you through their work. When you think about it, our work, and in fact where we work, is actually one of the major reasons and major means by which God gives us opportunities to show love for God and love for our neighbor as he commands us. When he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Your work and your workplace is a great place for you to put that into practice. Martin Luther once wrote about the connection between our work and our love for God and our love for our neighbor when he wrote these words. He said, a Christian lives not in himself, but in Christ and the neighbor. He lives in Christ through faith and in his neighbor through love. And as only Luther could put it, he said these words. He said, good works are not to be done for God. Rather, they must be done for one's neighbor. God does not need our good works, but our neighbor does. It's also important to remember that God is at work in us and through us while we are working. He really is. God is at work in you while you are working. If we think of the work that we do each day, whether it's at home or maybe at school, whether it's in an office or on an assembly line, when we think of that work as the ministry that God has given us, won't that change the way we look at our work? Ministry is a word that we hear often in church or in church circles, but really it's a word that just means service. Your work is your service, your ministry that God has given to you. And ministry, as it's defined in the New Testament, is any service performed by a Christian that is motivated and empowered by the Holy Spirit that benefits people and gives glory to God. That's why the Apostle Paul could write in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. How can we bring glory to God through our work? Scripture consistently teaches that whatever our work is, whether it's through public ministry, the saving of souls through the teaching and preaching of his gospel, or something as mundane or maybe even as lowly as cleaning toilets, we should do it with diligence. We should do it with excellence. We should do it with a self-sacrifice that honors our God and our Savior and serves others. Jesus once said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Think of the ways in which our work glorifies God, benefits our neighbors, and lets our light shine to the world, the light of Christ shine to the world, when we do our work with integrity and honesty. When we do our work with diligence, with excellence and skill, and do it to the best of our ability, the ability to, from which God gives us. When we do our work with thankfulness and joy. When we do our work with love. Again, as Paul says, let all you do be done with love. Think of how the light of Christ will shine in our work when we do those things. Our work then does become service, and in fact it becomes a worship to God when we dedicate it to him, perform it to his glory, and with an awareness that he is working in us and through us to bless others. Now, it wouldn't really even be possible or even desirable for us to get to work if it weren't for the fact that God has already gotten to work for us and in us. Remember the words of our short sermon text for today from Philippians chapter 2. In fact, it is God who is working in you both to will and to work for the sake of his good pleasure. Such an important verse in the scriptures. It reminds us that it is God who gives you the motivation, the want to, and the ability to carry out the work he has given you today. May that be a source of strength and comfort to all of us, but especially to you today, Isaac, as you approach the overwhelming responsibility and yet the very blessed privilege of teaching Jesus' little lambs in our school. It is God who is working. It is God who is working in you, both to will and to work for the sake of His good pleasure. Doesn't that help to take the pressure off of you, off of us? He places that responsibility on Himself to give you the desire and give you the ability to carry out His work and to do His purpose. That, of course, is part of His grace. That is the most important part of His work for us, a part that has nothing to do with our work, but has everything to do with Jesus' work. Again, as Paul says in Ephesians, "Indeed, it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." His perfect work, Jesus' perfect life, Jesus' innocent death on the cross to pay for our sins, His glorious resurrection from the grave, that work earned us forgiveness. That work gives us God's unending love and eternal life in heaven with Him. In fact, God now counts our work, amazingly, as flawed and as tainted and as sometimes as poor as it is, He counts our work as righteous, as perfect in His sight. The Apostle Paul once said in Romans chapter 4, "And to the one who does not work, but believes in Him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." When God looks at us because of Jesus, because of our faith in Him, He sees our works as righteousness. So when we are struggling to find the motivation to get to work, when our boss, our teacher, or our parents have to tell us, "Get to work," may we always remember what a blessing and a privilege it is to get to work. And so it's my prayer for you, Isaac, and for all of us as we go about our work and our service to God. The same prayer of the Apostle Paul that he prayed for the Philippian Christians in the chapter that comes right before this sermon text. "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that He who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus." Amen. Please rise. And that peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. You may be seated. If you have an offering to give to the Lord today, we invite you to do so by placing it in the offering plate in the entryway of our church. We'll continue our worship service today with our next hymn, "Lord Jesus Christ, the Children's Friend." this time I invite Isaac to come forward for his installation. Dear brother in Christ, St. Stephen Lutheran Church at a voter's call meeting asking for God's guidance and acting in his name has called you to be our second teacher here at St. Stephen Lutheran School. By God's guidance, you have been led to accept this call, and you are now about to enter upon your important duties of your calling. For the faithful performance of this calling, you will be blessed by God and held accountable to God. Therefore, I ask you in the presence of God and of this congregation, do you promise with the help of God to faithfully perform all the duties of your office in accordance with the Word of God and the confessions of our congregation, according to the ability which God gives to you? If so, answer by saying, I do so promise with the help of God.
I do so promise with the help of God.
Will you, trusting in God's care, seek to grow in love for those you serve, strive for excellence in your skills and teaching, and adorn the gospel of Jesus Christ with a godly life? If so, answer by saying, I will with the help of God.
I will with the help of God.
At this testimony of your sincere intent, in the name of this congregation, I install you as a teacher in our Christian day school, and I give you the right hand of fellowship and Christian love. Dear members and friends of St. Stephen Lutheran Church, I encourage all of you through Jesus Christ, who has graciously given us Isaac as a teacher in our school, that you would look upon him and honor him as one sent by the Lord, that you would faithfully assist him in the performance of his duties, and diligently help him in the Christian training of the children. For our school parents, be sure to send your children to school regularly and on time, teaching them to respect and obey their teachers. Do this for the sake of God, that his name may be glorified in our school by our children. Do this for the sake of the children, that through the labors of our teachers, they may be brought up in the training and instruction of the Lord, to the praise of our gracious God, to your joy, and to their own physical and eternal welfare. Dear children of our congregation and of our school, may Jesus, your good shepherd, give to you, dear children, good and happy hearts, willing to listen and obey their dear teachers. Among the many things that you will be taught by them, the most important is the saving word of God. You should love, honor, and respect your teachers because God has sent them to you. You should always listen to them and be obedient to them, for they instruct you in God's name. May God strengthen you to do all these things, that you may your teacher's work may be blessed among you, and he become an everlasting blessing to you, and that Jesus' promise, as your little lambs, is fulfilled in you, that he gives to you eternal life. And then to all of you, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you have heard the confession and the solemn promise of Isaac, who has been called to the office of teacher in our school and in our church. I ask you now in the presence of God, will you receive him, show him fitting love and honor, and support him by your gifts and fervent prayer? If so, then answer, we will with the help of God. We will with the help of God. I now invite the members of our Board of Education to come forward for the laying on of hands. You can just bow your head. Isaac, please bow your head and receive these words of promise, instruction, and blessing from our Lord. From 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Such is the confidence that we have through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient in ourselves to claim anything as coming from us, but our sufficiency is from God, who has made us sufficient to be ministers, that is, servants, of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter, that is the law, kills, but the Spirit gives life.
From Romans 12, verses 5 through 8. In the same way, though we are many, we are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. We have different gifts according to the grace God has given us. If the gift is prophecy, do it in complete agreement with the faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is encouraging, then encourage. If it is contributing, be generous. If it is leadership, be diligent. If it is showing mercy, do it cheerfully.
The Lord tells us in 2 Peter, chapter 1, 5 through 8, and for this very reason, after applying every effort, add moral excellence to your faith. To moral excellence, add knowledge. To knowledge, add self-control. To self-control, add patient endurance. To patient endurance, add godliness. To godliness, add brotherly affection. And to brotherly affection, add love. For if you have these qualities and they are increasing, they are going to keep you from being idle or unfruitful in regard to your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ.
From 1 Peter chapter 4. Serve one another, each according to the gift he has received, as good stewards of the many forms of God's grace. If anyone speaks, let him do it as one speaking the messages of God. If anyone serves, let him do it as one serving with the strength of God, with the strength God supplies, so that God may be glorified in every way through Jesus Christ. To him belong the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen.
I invite the congregation to please rise for prayer as we ask for God's blessings upon the work of our new teacher, Mr. Isaac Schmidt. Almighty God, everlasting fountain of all wisdom, who has established this Christian school to the glory of your name and consecrated to your service, we bless and glorify your holy name and give thanks to you for your great goodness. We pray that you continue your blessings upon our school so that your word may dwell richly in us and in our children, and that your name be glorified among us. Give to your servant Isaac your Holy Spirit and fill him with wisdom and power from on high, that he may lead our little ones to you, and in the face of any discouragements, wait faithfully for your promised help. Give to our children godliness and obedience, and let them so profit by their instruction in your holy word that they may be preserved from all sin, serve you all their days, and finally receive eternal life. Stir up in the hearts of our parents, of our students, and all the members of this congregation to regard their teacher as one sent by you, to help him in the Christian training of their children, and to pray and work for the welfare of our school. Lord, continue to build your kingdom both here and around the world to the end of time. Hear us for the sake of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. Go then, Isaac, and faithfully perform your work among the children of our church and our school, whom Christ has committed to your care. Assist me, the pastor of this flock, in feeding them the pure word of God. Assist the parents in bringing up their children in the training and instruction of the Lord. May the gospel of our Savior Jesus Christ move you to do these things, not by force, but willingly. Not for profit, but of a willing spirit. Not out of self-pride, but in simplicity of heart, seeking only the glory of God and being an example both to the children and to our whole congregation and school. The Lord bless you and make you a blessing both to the school and to our church. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. You may go in peace. We continue our service with our prayers for today. Special prayers before our Father's throne today for those who have been affected by wildfires that are currently raging near Vernon, British Columbia, one of our congregations up there. Many of the members have been affected. Some have even been evacuated from their homes. There are, of course, other wildfires throughout the West. We'll pray for the Lord to protect and watch over people who are affected by those fires. We also pray for the people of Southern California and the regions of the Southwest who are being affected by Tropical Storm Hilary as it's approaching and hitting that region today. We'll ask for the Lord's protection and blessing on them. And also for Pastor Missionary Bruce Nauman and his wife Paula, who are traveling today to Africa. Well, he'll resume his work for the first time with Paula in tow with him. We ask for the Lord's blessings on their travel and their work there. Any other prayer requests for today? Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Dear Lord, you know all of our needs, our troubles, and our cares, and you've told them to cast all of them upon you, for you truly care for us. You've also reminded us in your word that because of you, we need not worry or be afraid. We ask you then, dear Jesus, to take away our worries and our fears. We ask that you would protect all those who are in the path of the destructive wildfires that have erupted in various regions of North America, including watching over our brothers and sisters in Christ in the Vernon, British Columbia, Canada area, a number of whom have had to evacuate their homes. Protect their land, their homes, their businesses, and their lives. Be with those who are fighting the fires. Be their protection. Give them strength, endurance, and courage in the midst of danger, and give them wisdom to fight the fires effectively. We pray that you would mercifully put out the fires and prevent more from occurring. Graciously prevent any more loss of land or property or life according to your will, and be a present comfort and strength to those who have suffered such great losses in these fires, whether it be property, homes, pets, or loved ones. Dear Lord Jesus, the ruler of wind and wave, who with the word of your mouth calmed the stormy seas, we pray that in your mercy and your power, you would be with all the many people who are in the path of Tropical Storm Hillary. We pray that if it be your will, you would prevent any loss of property, health, or life as a result of this storm. Prevent the rains that will result from it from being destructive, but rather that it be a blessing to the regions of our state and country that are in the path of this storm. Help us to remember that the storms and disasters you allow to come upon this earth are calls to repentance, as they remind us of the passing of all things and the temporary nature of this earth and the lives we have been given by your grace. Help us and all people turn from our sins to turn to you for our help and strength, and most importantly, to look to you for life eternal. Protect us, guard us, and keep us in our bodies and souls as this and whatever storms of life may approach us. We also pray, dear Lord, for Bruce and Paula Nauman, who are traveling today to Africa. Bless them with safe travels, give them good health, and most importantly, bless their work and the spread of the gospel throughout that continent of Africa. Strengthen them for the work they are doing and draw them closer to each other and closer to you as they serve you overseas. Please bless those whom Bruce is teaching that they may take your word and carry it to many remote places where we cannot go. Cause that word to be powerful and grow in the hearts of many believers in those regions that they'll serve. We ask these things in your name, dear Jesus, as we pray now in your name, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive now with believing hearts the blessing from our Lord, and we'll respond with a doxology. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. You may be seated. We close our service today with our final hymn, Christ Be My Leader. I invite you to stand for the last verse. Thank you. You may be seated. Good morning.
Good morning.
A warm welcome to all of you in the name of our Savior Jesus. On behalf of our congregation, I'd like to welcome our guests and visitors who are with us today. I invite you to sign our guest book in the entryway and invite you to come and worship our Savior with us again in the near future. We also welcome our brothers and sisters from our East Bay congregation. We welcome you to our service today and invite all of you to a reception after the service in celebration of not just Isaac's installation today, but also of his recent wedding to his wife, our other teacher, Michaela, in our fellowship hall. You might notice there is a lot of patriotic decorations. Does anyone know why that is? They're Americans. They were married on July 4th, so it's a very patriotic-themed reception hall for them today. So please stay for the reception and meal following our service today. As a result of our combined service today, there will be no Hayward service this Sunday. Tomorrow, of course, is our first day of school at SSLS. We always kick off our school year with an opening service at 8:15. This year, we'll be having it for the first time in quite a while in the sanctuary. So we'll meet in the sanctuary for the service. Everyone is invited to come and attend that service at 8:15 and if they'd like to join us for that. Wednesday, our church council and elders meet here for Mountain View's congregation, and that will be via Zoom at 7 p.m. on Wednesday. Next Sunday, a reminder, we will have another combined worship service of both of our congregations. We have missionary Todd Ullman coming for our mission festival. Our 10 a.m. service will be here, and a meal will follow. There is a sign-up sheet if you'd like to bring something to pass for the fellowship meal. And then as the meal is sort of wrapping up, Pastor Ullman will do a presentation on some of the mission work we are doing and that he is doing on our behalf in some of the countries that we serve and have congregations around the world. So please join us for that. Should be a wonderful and blessed time, both at the service and at the presentation afterwards. One more note, please do continue to keep clear of the back gate area and the shed area. We had a exterminator come out and take care of the gigantic nest of yellow jackets that had formed under the ground that we were trying to treat ourselves. So it's been taken care of. The earth has been unearthed and the hole has been dug. We have to wait until the hornets all either leave or die off. He's treated it. The queen is gone. It shouldn't take long, but we are not going to open up that area until it is safe. So for school families, come in through the front door. For church folks, come in through the front door until you hear an announcement from us, either via email or in the bulletin, that it is okay to use the back gate again. Unless you really like getting stung by yellow jackets, then it's not our problem. Any other announcements for today? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all.